Good morning, Mr. Buckley. In Johnson County Board of Commissioners, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk has circulated the minutes for May 18th of 2022. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No. Make the motion we approve the minutes as published.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Perry, seconded by Commissioner Perino. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, you have the first item on the agenda. This is a budget adjustment for the airport because some grant money came in.
Chairman Labonte, we needed to add the $30,000 to Fund 46. Darryl didn't bring the paperwork right away until we were in a backwards situation. So I had to add that. So that is Fund 46 and Fund 58, the state gave Tucker's Mentor Grant $13,233.
So, Commissioners, Resolution Number 679, Transfer Funds for the 2021-2022 Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved that in accordance with 16-4-112 and 16-4-113 of the Wyoming compiled Statutes of 1977, the following necessary funds are transferred for the 2021-2022 Budget from the YDOT Aviation in the amount of $30,000 to Fund 46, the COVID-19 Airport Grant in the amount of $30,000, from the Department of Family Services in the amount of $13,233 to Fund 58, the Mentor Grant Program, in the amount of $13,233 for total changes in the budget of $43,233, dated the 7th day of June 2022. Mr. Zett, is the resolution before you?
Move to approve.
Second.
There is a motion and a second to approve Budget Resolution 679, which would allow us to open a budget hearing for the changes to the budget. We'll convene that hearing right now. Is there any public comment or questions on Resolution 679 to transfer an airport grant and also transfer funds for the mentoring program grant? Public comment. Hearing none, I'll go ahead and close the hearing and close public comment. Commissioner, any discussion on Resolution 679?
No.
Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of Resolution 679, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, looks like the next item on the agenda was a request for a malt beverage permit.
Chairman Labonte, you have several of them.
See that.
From Taylor's Invasion Bar, and the last one is from Southport Mountain Resort. Taylor's Invasion Bar are the Longmire Night Rodeos in June, July, and August, maybe. And Pig Wrestling is June 24th.
So Taylor's Invasion Bar has requested malt beverage permits for the Johnson County Fairgrounds on June 15th and 29th, July 20th, August 10th, 17th, and 21st. And South Fork Mountain Resort has requested a malt beverage permit for Johnson County Fairgrounds on the 24th of June.
Chairman Labonte, the pig wrestling one has to be a catering permit.
Okay.
She's asked to serve wine.
Okay. So, excuse me, Christian, that will be a catering permit, not just the full malt beverage permit. So there can be beer and wine. Paperwork has all paperwork in order and all fees been assessed.
All the paperwork is in order. Holly is supposed to drop $10 off in the office today, so I will hold that until we are paid.
Okay. Commissioner, we can approve all those and that one conditionally on payment of a $10 fee, if that's your pleasure.
Move to approve.
I've got a motion and a second to approve the small beverage and the catering permits. Is there any public discussion on those requests? Hearing none. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the catering permits, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, I'd like to welcome up Mr. Bryce McKenzie to go over our annual MOU with the University of Wyoming for Cooperative Extension.
Perfect. How are we?
Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, so this MOU is for 2022 through 2026, a four-year stand. As far as I know, this is the same version that we had when I had started in Extension here. And so basically what it is it's just an agreement of, hey, this is what the university is going to do for you versus what you guys do for university. Kind of an MOU to say, yep, we understand how each other work, and this is how we're going to move forward. A couple things to note in there are that, you know, the responsibilities of the university are plainly listed as well there in some additional terms. So I was pleased with how they'd written it. I just need a signature from you guys that say that you agree to it. Hopefully you've had a chance to kind of look through it, and then I'll send it down to Kelly Crane and Barbara Roscoe to sign it off as the deans and head of extension.
Craig, you had a chance to do the MOU. Did you have any concerns with changes from what we've seen in the past?
I don't think there's anything necessarily changed, but I did catch a couple things that maybe I didn't catch last time. They're minor, but we may want to maybe change them before we sign. So one is on, I guess it would be page 3, paragraph D5. It says, facilitate a jointly developed annual agreement between University of Wyoming Extension and the Fair Board, which addresses the parties' respective duties, responsibilities, and expectations associated with the county fair. And Bryce and I have talked about this. I don't think annually on that deal is not feasible.
No.
I mean, it takes literally 4 years to get one done. I mean, and then just because there's so much that goes into that, and it's not necessarily easy. And so I guess I'd like to see it more probably like mirror this, like every time we do this,
the contract,
yeah, that we redo the MOU regarding the fair responsibilities, because it's too much for Bryce and it's too much for the livestock committee and it's too much for the fair board to try to make all that happen on an annual basis. And it's too much for me, like literally I don't think any of us have the time to do that every single year. So I'd like us to change that language and just say, maybe just take out the word annual. Just so, I mean, we all agree we need to have the agreement in place. I just don't think we can do it annually. Bryce and I actually talked about this here a while back, that technically we're supposed to do it annually. It's just not feasible. Because it's, I mean, it's, a, you know, however many, I mean, it's a long document.
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. It's almost the same, it's at least the same length as this. As
yeah,
this.
I'd say it's probably four. Longer.
Yeah, we operate under two MOUs, one with you guys as the commissioners and then one with the fair board as well, so that because it's the showdown there is all sanctioned by county fair board, so that's
so we have two. Omit that one word.
Yeah, okay. I think that solves that.
What else?
And then I would just like a disclaimer in, so on the last page before the signature, number 5, indemnification, it says neither party is going to indemnify each other, except in, if you go back up to the third page under paragraph 6, this came up years ago, where the university will indemnify us for their staff or their employees driving county vehicles. And we had asked them to put that in there the last time we did this agreement, and they graciously did. And they, I mean, they agreed it's their responsibility, so they put it in there. I just like it to say, except as set forth in paragraph D6, neither party shall. Because those two paragraphs contradict each other.
Yep. Makes sense.
So we just need to make that clear. Other than that, I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, ideally, And we talked about this, I think, the last time we did this. Ideally, you'd have a termination provision in one of these, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because we're under a continuing obligation to do this, as is the university. So there's, as long as we want extension in Johnson County, we're going to have to live by this agreement, and I don't think any of us don't want that. So ideally, you would have that in there, but I don't. In all practical purposes, it doesn't make a difference because we're never going to exercise that, neither is the university. So, and that's why it's not in there, but usually one of these MOUs would have that provision. That doesn't bother me that it's not in there because of what it is. If there's any other agreement with the state, we'd want that in there. And it is in all of our other agreements with the state.
So, Mr. Craig, other than the changes on what we're calling page 3, and then 5-6 with indemnification, you had no concerns on this contract?
No, and I think that's just cleanup. I mean, I just don't think I probably, I think Bryce is right. It is essentially the same document we did last time. It's just probably cleanup, make it a little bit cleaner, a little bit better.
Okay, so then on my end of things, do you want me to get that through university and then bring it back to you to get signed again?
Well, I think they can approve it contingent on those two changes being made. You don't probably have to bring it back. They can just approve it based on those two changes being made. Commissioner Novotny can sign it when it comes back. But it'll take 2 weeks to go through UW legal to get that back.
Yeah, we'll be into July probably before I get this back.
Well, I mean, maybe not. I mean, maybe if you call down and talk to Dr. Crane and ask him nicely, it can happen shorter than that.
Yep. Okay.
All right, are you ready for a motion?
I would love one.
I'll try this. Move to approve the extension of an MOU with the caveat that 5A, we omit the word annual. No, D5, and for F5, we add except as set forth in D6.
That's it?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I've got a motion and a second to amend the contract with the University of Wyoming. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions or public comment on the annual agreement with the University of Wyoming to provide cooperative extension in Johnson County. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Commissioners, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Bryce, before we let you sneak off, first of all, thank you for allowing us to be involved in the process to hire for what we're hoping is going to be a great extension specialist to work alongside you, and hopefully any day now the university is going to be able to announce who that individual is. Second thing, how are we doing on your fundraising campaign for the shooting sports program?
It's in the works. We're still slowly but surely chugging along. It looks probably going to be into next year with bids and different things that we're getting. You know, it's taken a little while. I still haven't heard anything back from Trap Mesquite Club on concrete bids. So we're still kind of waiting on all of that to funnel in to give us an idea of end point so that we can go chasing that dollar figure. It's a lot easier to know how much you're chasing rather than to present and just say, oh, we're hoping to get this done. So but we're working on that slowly but surely. So
are you ready to apply for another round of grants? I've got that grant letter ready to go. You just need to let me know when you need it.
Absolutely. Will do. Will do. Say, and then on signing this bad boy, do I just need to, I guess I should just get you to sign and then I'll electrically scan it to him, or do you want me to wait until we get those provisions done?
Well, go ahead and wait and make sure that Barry's comfortable with the changes that UW Legal makes, but we've got authorization once those come back that he's had a chance to review that we can get that signed for him.
Perfect. Okay, I'll get those done.
All right. Just email.
Okay, we'll do. Thank you, guys.
You're not getting out of here yet, but is there any questions from the public or press or the 4-H educator? All right, here
it is for you. We're still going up. We're at 320.
320 kids.
320 kids.
So
that is, I think, one in four kids enrolled in school in Johnson County is a 4-H participant.
Yep. Yeah.
So pretty cool.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. Commissioners, if you'll flip to 680. This is a request that came in from Bob McBride with First Northern Bank. There's a little memo in your packet. The Welcome Home Wyoming program is working to help people secure home ownership. They assist with down payments, as well as through the programs that they work with FHA, USDA, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, as well as the other USDA loan programs, can help and help homeowners get a lower interest rate. Johnson County is not presently an authorized participant in this program, so this request would work then through the Cheyenne Housing Authority, which works with the Buffalo Housing Authority on a contract basis, and that's appointed through the City of Buffalo. So they have requested authorization that we participate in the Wyoming Welcome Home Program. It puts the county under no cost, no liability or obligation, and in this, no taxpayer funds are used. So I'll go ahead and read the resolution, and we can open it up for discussion. Johnson County Wyoming Board of County Commissioners, Resolution Number 680. Whereas workforce housing is critically needed in Johnson County, Wyoming. Whereas the Welcome Home Wyoming program was established over 7 years ago to offer qualified home buyers with financing and down payment assistance. Whereas the Welcome Home Wyoming program has originated over $240 million in first mortgage loans through Wyoming, helping over 1,150 people achieve the dream of home ownership. Whereas authorizing the Welcome Home Wyoming program comes at no cost, liability, or obligation to Johnson County, and no taxpayer funds are used for the program. Whereas the Cheyenne Housing Authority, which collaborates with the Buffalo Housing Authority, shall be authorized to make the Welcome Home Wyoming program available to home purchasers within Johnson County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Johnson County Board of Commissioners hereby consent to the Cheyenne Housing Authority making the program available to home purchasers within Johnson County pursuant to Wyoming Statutes Annoyed 1510-105. It is further resolved that the consent for the Cheyenne Housing Authority to make the program available to home purchasers within Johnson County shall remain in full force and effect until withdrawn pursuant to a formal action approved by the Johnson County Board of Commissioners, dated and adopted the 7th day of June 2022. So, Commissioners, there is the resolution, and you have the request in the background from Welcome Home Wyoming.
Just out of curiosity. Sorry, there's somebody from the garage or somebody here. But how many of these loans go bad?
You know, Commissioner Perry, I don't have figures on that.
Sometimes we make things available that are more onerous than they are beneficial, but I don't have a problem with the resolution. I just worry that we're getting ourselves back into a pandemic situation. Making loans available to people that don't qualify.
Well, I guess I think one of the nice things is that these loans are originated through the banks here. So we would hope that they would do a good job of making sure that folks are actually qualified to get into those homes. I don't think you ever want to see a situation where someone has to deal with a foreclosure.
Yeah, my feeling. With that being said, I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 680.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the request to approve Resolution 680? Discussion. Hearing none. Commissioners, all those in favor of Resolution 680, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next up on the agenda is the unexpired term of Jill Smith for the Johnson County Tourism Board. We did have one applicant. You'll remember that to serve on the tourism board, you must be employed in a business or involved with an organization that has a nexus to tourism. So Ms. Jody Sowers, who owns GD's Vintage and Upscale Resale, as well as the Baker Building downtown that has the Senate Vacation Rentals, has requested to be appointed to the Board of Tourism. And you can see from her letter of interest, she's got a wonderful amount of experience with marketing. Just her thoughts and what should be promoted with travel and tourism.
I think we need a cloner. It sounds really good.
Yeah.
Move to approve Jody Sowers to the Tourism Board.
I'll second that. I've got a motion and a second to appoint Jody Sowers to the Johnson County Tourism Board. Any discussion? Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next up, commissioners, this is the Crisis Stabilization Unit resolution. The public is aware Johnson County has been involved in longstanding discussions through Northern Wyoming Mental Health and now with Sheridan Memorial Hospital on the construction of a Crisis Stabilization Unit. This would be located in Sheridan and attached to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital. There's been a letter sent along with the Sheridan Commissioners and Sheridan Memorial Hospital in support of this project to the governor, and now they are asking that we do a resolution of support. So, Johnson County Wyoming Board of County Commissioners, resolution number 681. Whereas Wyoming is experiencing a mental health emergency that is placing great pressure on our community mental health resources, first responders, and county hospitals. Whereas suicide epidemic is an epidemic in Wyoming. Wyoming has the unfortunate designation of having the highest per capita suicide rate in the United States. Whereas in 2021, Johnson County had 43 emergency calls for individuals having a mental health emergency resulting in the unfortunate loss of 6 precious lives. Whereas Wyoming lacks the capacity to provide the necessary community mental health services on a per capita basis. Whereas mental health emergencies resulting in Title 25 designations are rapidly increasing. Whereas Sheridan Memorial Hospital has gathered stakeholders to advance the concept of a regional impact crisis stabilization unit. Whereas coordinated and consolidated efforts deliver emergency mental health services when an individual is experiencing a mental health crisis coupled with health with aftercare. Aftercare will have the highest rate of success, whereas a crisis stabilization unit is desperately needed in Northeast Wyoming. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Board of Johnson County Commissioners fully support all funding requests to Governor Mark Gordon, the State of Wyoming, and all grants applications for the IMPACT Crisis Stabilization Unit at Sheridan Memorial Hospital, approved and adopted the 7th day of June, 2022. Commissioners, there is the resolution.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 681.
A second.
There's a motion and a second. Which will bring us into a time of questions, discussion, or public comment. Mr. Hollywood.
I very much appreciate this resolution from our commissioners. I can't begin to tell you how impactful this will be to the citizens of Johnson County, those who are in crisis. In suicide prevention, we often talk about being upstream. And if we can be upstream before someone changes thoughts into action, we can save lives. And so this unit at Sheridan, as opposed to the current situation of taking people to Casper, WBI, or other facilities, it will save lives, 100%.
Thank you, Ms. Swan. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none. Commissioners, any final discussion on this or thoughts? Sat in the meetings with Sheridan Hospital or mental health providers?
I think it's a great thing that we're finally stepping forward and providing some mental health stabilization for the two counties in northern Wyoming. Let's move forward.
Why don't you explain what Sheridan Memorial Hospital is envisioning with this and the timeline? That's important also.
Sheridan Memorial Hospital is looking at transitioning a portion of their existing building into a 6-bed crisis stabilization unit. So, unfortunately, when an individual finds themselves in a mental health crisis, they either first interact with law enforcement or our doctors in the emergency room. At that point, they have to be transferred to some place where they can be cared for. Sometimes it's a little easy as getting an individual back on their medication. Sometimes it's much more, and long-term treatment is needed. That will be the decision of the doctor. But this unit, which will be attached to the hospital, which we're looking about 2 years out before it would be ready to receive patients. So as an example, the individual in our emergency room, they would then call Sheridan, transportation would be arranged, and that individual would get there for help. Beyond that, I don't know if Mr. Ruby has any other thoughts, because he's actually the point of entry for individuals in this situation.
I don't have any other thoughts based on that. We're still in the very initial stages, obviously, but it's going to be, I agree with Mr. Hawley, it's going to be a great help for the people of Johnson County and for Northeast Wyoming. So I'm pretty excited about it getting up and running, and hopefully we get the funding to do it.
One additional note, Mr. Novotny. Currently, in our entire state, there are 4 facilities that can do this kind of crisis stabilization. 4. So adding this, and of course, proximity is important. We talk about, you mentioned aftercare, what happens when someone leaves the crisis stabilization and come back to our community. What does that care for them look like to maintain their sobriety or their brain health, staying on their meds? And so certainly I would be hopeful that aftercare would improve.
Any further discussion on Resolution 681? Hearing none. Commissioners, all those in favor of Resolution 681, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Madam Clerk, looks like vouchers are next on the agenda.
Okay. Chairman Botney, we added 2. So we added a visa bill, and we added the voucher for the Johnson County Fair Board. So the total now is $443,853.42, because we had that prepaid. So on a little bitty piece of paper is the actual total.
Well, but that's not the total I have.
On your little
442,283.60.
Oh, okay. But up top, you have
plus the $1,500 prepaid.
The little bitty paper.
Okay.
So,
got it.
That.
And what was the Fair Board amount?
That was their 1%. It was $75,204.57.
There we go.
Commissioners, any questions on any of the vouchers that you need to have addressed by the county clerk?
Not that the clerk can answer.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the vouchers?
So moved.
Second.
There is a motion and a second to approve the vouchers in the amount of $443,853.42. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Before we take public comment, just a couple of updates on our agenda. We will not be having an executive session with the county assessor. She is sick today. There will be no planning and zoning commission tonight or budget hearing. Mr. Waller has broken his wrist and so is out for a couple days. And we will also not hear from the emergency management coordinator at 10:30 for the budget hearing because she has COVID. So kind of walking wounded around here. County Attorney Ruby is going to take the 10:30 budget slot. Mr. Cradle, I do have an addition. You had given us two health contracts from the public health nurse.
Yes. One's a draft that has watermark on it, and the other one's in final form. The one that's in that says draft, I just need to get your vote to go ahead with that contract, and then they'll send us the final version for signature probably at our next meeting. And then the other one we need to go ahead and sign.
All right, so the first one that's in the draft form, this is for children's health programs, maternal child health grant, and a couple of the other programs. That
right, our standard, standard ones, yes, sir.
In the amount of $11,000 from the state to put those programs on. I see you had tabbed on page 9 for termination by the county.
Yep. And again, this, we can terminate, it just has different terminology. I'm a talk to the state about that one, but the rest of the contract is fine.
Okay. So your preference would be to have us go ahead and approve this contract
contingent on final form, and
form
then we'll sign it at a, our next meeting or whenever they get it back to us.
Okay. All right. And then the second grant, again with public health. Is $100,000. Looks like you had a couple of concerns flagged on page 8 about no term and then immunity clause with county.
Yep. So this one again has the termination. It has the termination language that I don't necessarily like, but they're also these are also 1-year contracts.
Yep.
And so not as big of a deal. And then I don't know why the state does this, so every contract that they send to us is a little bit different on the sovereign immunity. Sometimes they include us and sometimes they don't.
Okay.
So on that one, if we want this one, the problem with this one now is we have a deadline of
July 1.
Well, they need it back by the 13th next week.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's from my perspective, those two things aren't probably enough to worry about. But our public health nurse could not be here today, and so.
Okay. But you're comfortable.
I'm comfortable with the contracts. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion we approve the public health resolution or document, not sorry, contract.
Both of them?
Yes.
I'll second.
And, Commissioner Perry, can we get a friendly amendment that it's contingent upon the corrections from the county attorney's office on both of those?
And a friendly second.
Yeah, we'll take that. All right, so I have a motion and a second to approve the two public health contracts contingent upon suggestions from the county attorney's office. Is there any discussion?
Clarification. Mr. Crago, did you say that you thought that the two corrections were negligible when you go ahead and sign the contract, or do you want to create the...
So let's do this. I'll, if it's going to affect whether or not we get the money or not, if we're going to miss a deadline, then we don't need to worry about it. If they can get it... The problem is, every time one of these goes back to the state, it literally has to go through three sets of lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a month. And by they send them to you, you don't have enough time to get them turned around by the deadline, and so it's sort of, do we take it or we not, or we don't? Do we want the do we want to be able to have those resources to provide services in the county? My suggestion is those two things that I flagged are probably not a big deal on a one-year contract. Because I don't, but I will ask. And if we can get it turned around quick enough, fine. If we can't, I would tell you it's not worth worrying about.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of approving the two contracts from the Department of Health, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business you needed us to transact today?
Chairman Novotny, I did not.
Jody, any additional business you need to push us to transact? And anything from the County Attorney's Office?
Did you have another contract for the Commission to look at and potentially sign if you had a moment?
We do.
The contract that I have is between the Department of Health and Johnson County. This is for the Supervised Alternative Treatment Court Program. It looks the same as what we've had in the past. It has the same issues that Mr. Krieger was talking about with the other contracts, but they're one-year contracts. I would ask that you would sign it so we can get the funding and get it in place. There is one difference between this year's contract and last year's contract. They awarded us the same amount as they have in previous years, but then when they drafted it up, it came back that they had awarded us for one slot less, so about $9,000 less. And we inquired why that was, and they said, oh, that was a mistake on our end. And they said, the way you correct it is we'll apply for COVID dollars, and then you get COVID dollars to be able to use. And so there's an additional part of this contract where we get payment from the state of one amount, and then we get payment from the COVID emergency funding grant for an additional $9,354.66. On our end, it does not matter. It's something that they have to keep accounting for. We just continue to invoice them for the same amounts that we always have, and it processes through. I had to fill out a small application for it and submit that back in. Ms. Edelman, or Clerk Edelman, helped me with it.
And Chairman Watman, Tucker, that $9,000 is going to make the auditors look at that drug court grant differently. Because that will fall under the federal funding now. So, just so you know,
that'd be fun.
May be asking.
That's all right. I keep impeccable records, so it's not going to be an issue. Realistically, it's not going to affect too much as far as what we do. And I have to provide an accounting to them every month to the state folks, and it has a running total throughout the year. So I don't think it's going to matter too awful much on how that works. I wish they would have caught it before they did that, but they didn't. The other alternative is we just don't get the money, and then we don't have an alternative treatment court. And so it sort of is one of those situations where we take what we can get and we move forward with that. So I'll present it to you. It's already been signed by the Attorney General, and we need signature from our governing body, and then we can go ahead and push that through. It's the same program we have. I think there's discussion on the state level that they're going to increase the funding for the alternative treatment courts as well. And we've been working on that in Johnson County for a long time. They've funded us for, I think it's been four positions, and we have been, last year we ran, I think, nine people through. And so we've been steadily trying to show that there's a need so the state would fund us more generously. They've not done that as of yet, but my understanding is that that's probably coming. And so I think this is just part of the step to continue on with that. Questions?
No.
I may present this.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Approach. May I approach? Your Honor.
Thanks, Mr. Ruby. All right. Commissioners, looks like the total contract is the amount of $37,418.64. What is your budget?
Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the grant with the Wyoming Department of Health, Behavioral Health Division in Johnson County for drug court. Is there any discussion or questions? Hearing none. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the contract, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. At this point, I would open us up into a time of public comment unless Mr. Ruby has anything else he needs from the commissioners.
I just have one more thing that I'll make you aware of.
Okay.
The CJSB money that we used to get in the past, we did not get last year, but we used to get in the past to help fund the mentor program is returning. We were advised that it would be $50,000 for 1 year, and then shortly thereafter we were advised that it would be $50,000 for 2 years. If we were awarded the full amount, I received notice from the state last week that we would be receiving the full $50,000. It would run for 2 years, with whatever we don't use in the first year would carry over the second year, as it has been for years in the past. And so that'll be a good help for our program and to help with our funding. I have the contract for that that I had to look at yesterday and tell them that we approved it. It'll go through them and then come back for us for signature. So there's nothing for you to look at today, but that'll be coming. It's very similar to the contract itself. It's very similar to the drug court contract and a lot of the same terms. And it's the same contract that we've entered into with them in the past. And so excited about that, excited about the possibility of having more funding going into our mentoring program to help us continue to provide that service. I did not have Mr. Wilson come with me today, but is when we come with the contract for your signature, I'll ask him to attend and give you a little bit of an update of how the mentor program is going. It's going very well, and so I just would advise you that that money is coming as well, and so that's a benefit for the county as well. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Ruby before I hand him back his contract when it's been signed?
Thanks.
There's no additional business that needs to be transacted. I would open up a time of public comment. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead and please just make sure you introduce yourself so the clerk can have it reflected in the record. You're welcome to stay there or you can come up to the table, whatever is your preference.
Can you hear me better up here? Kathy O'Brien is my name. And I'm just going to read some notes I put together. I enjoy our community. I enjoy our neighborhood. I enjoy Buffalo and Johnson County. I like dogs, and we have a dog, but we have a problem also with barking dogs. And it's some people say, "Well, this is petty." A lot like a dripping water faucet, it's petty. Our dog's been pretty good. He doesn't bark, and I've had to go find him a couple times, but because of bad weather, he jumps, gets scared, and runs off. But we've remedied that. But he doesn't bark. I don't like to feel compelled to go before commissioners. I don't like to call the sheriff's department either. But Johnson County and Buffalo has a barking dog problem. Continuous, excessive, untimely is an accurate description. No peaceful evenings or sleep with the windows open at night in the summer. We're in Richardson Park, which has been a recurring problem, I know. I counted over 100 parcels in our subdivision, give or take. I counted about 48 subdivisions in Johnson County within the 5 miles of the city. And that's just my rough estimate from what I can tell on the map. Every week, the dispatcher takes 11 to 18 calls, that's per week, that's recently for dog problems, and that's unacceptable dog owner behavior, if you ask me. Unnecessary calls for law enforcement officers, as well as dispatchers. I'd bet our taxpayers would rather our deputies take on duties and calls other than repeated barking dog calls. It's out of control. I'm looking for solutions. That's why I'm here. Last year I stood on the porch with animal control, the animal control lady and a deputy. I showed them a video of a neighbor's dog barking for over an hour. They saw the dog barking from my porch. About 10:30 one night, dogs were barking. I called the sheriff's department. He said he'd have to drive from the north end of the county to get there, but he did. We met out in the neighborhood. I was driving to try to figure out where the address is where these dogs are. We took down addresses of dog owners gone for the night or the weekend. If you had 5 or 6 dogs, would you take them camping with you? I've read Resolution 425, 425A, the Wyoming Statutes 1131, 301. I've called our Sheriff Odenbach and Captain Braley and had conversations with them about nuisance violations. They agree it's out of control. Captain Braley said the procedure is to warn the first time. I can sign a citation if the law doesn't witness the barking, if the sheriff or whoever doesn't witness the dog barking, and I can testify in court and all that good stuff. Find the dog owner, or they must appear if they don't pay the fine. I've got better things to do than get after somebody at the sheriff's department or you commissioners. We all got better things to do. Smokey was right years ago about the problem and the solution. My question is, what would your solution be? Is this law being enforced? I wasn't offered to sign a citation against the individual that day. Do we need to increase the fines, which I would strongly suggest? From my view, if an animal control officer worked on commission, they'd be rich. So I welcome any suggestions and solutions to the problem.
Thank you. I don't know what our attorneys have in mind. I doubt that there's a lot that we can do, unfortunately.
I wanted to make you aware, and we'll just keep pursuing solutions to the problem and stuff. Thank you.
Mr. Crickle, were you in the county attorney's office when Commissioner Wilderman put forward his resolution? And then my second question is, I'm assuming the fining authority for barking dogs is set in state statutes and controlled by the legislature.
I'd have to go back and look at that. Mr. Chairman, I can't. Yes, I was here. And I did draft this, but I haven't looked at it in a very long time. So I'd be glad to put together a little memo for you. We could go over it at the next meeting if that works, but off the cuff, I don't know the answer. That's okay. I mean, what I can tell you is our ability to do anything is, of course, is always controlled by statute. I mean, as counties, we have limited abilities, limited legal rights to do anything, and whatever the statutes say we can do. So I'll have to look at that.
Now, in regards to what dog barking in the city of Buffalo, because of their home rule status and their ability to draft an ordinance, they have a lot more latitude, I'm assuming, too.
They do. That's right.
Any commissioners, any questions for Ms. O'Brien on her public comment?
No, but I'd like to see that proposed resolution. It never was passed.
It was passed.
Yeah,
no, that's what allows us to do anything. So when Ms. O'Brien calls the SO, when we first did this, there was no ability to control that outside of the city limits. Uh-huh. I mean, the city of Buffalo was the only entity that could do anything, which is why we put this together years ago, and it was passed by the county commissioner. So we have a nuisance regulation relating to animals, at large outside of the city limits within the unincorporated areas of Johnson County. So we can do something. So I, like I said, I haven't looked at this in years. So, for example, it's a $100 fine for the first offense on essentially a barking dog violation. But on the second offense, it can be as much as $750, which I don't, we'll have a hard time getting more than $750. I mean, that's the limit by law anyways. So on the first offense, it's only $100 if they get a ticket, other, you know, not just a warning. But the second ticket could be as up to $750.
And has it ever been enforced?
That'd be a question for Mr. Ruby. I mean,
because
from the criminal side,
I
don't know.
It has been.
Has it?
It has been enforced.
Frequently or?
Not frequently. So as Mr. Bryan said, if law enforcement shows up, and this is, I've had a conversation with law enforcement officers about this, they'll show up and the dog's not barking. With some frequency, and so then it becomes the individual who's reporting it. They have to be the witness. A lot of folks don't want to do that. I mean, and I understand that. The other side of it is if you go to court, anything like this, it goes through a circuit court. You know, the fines are up to $750, but it's at the discretion of the circuit court judge. And if the circuit court judge wants to fine them $50, then that can happen. And so, I mean, the reality of it is the potential penalty can be pretty high. The execution of the actual penalty may not be. And so, you know, there's some limitations to that. I think law enforcement tries to deal with it amicably between neighbors instead of creating a huge issue of a neighbor testifying against a neighbor. And so it hasn't been enforced a lot. Any of them that have been brought to us, then we prosecute. But I think law enforcement tries to work things out usually, and from what I understand, oftentimes they will show up and dog's not barking, dog's inside, whatever the case might be. And so the situations that Ms. O'Brien explained are a little different, and so, you know, those are things that they can maybe proceed with. I know in conversations with the sheriff, they are willing to do it, and they would like to put an end to these sorts of things. It's just, it's like anything else. We present it to the court, and the court decides what the appropriate sentence is on that stuff. And, you know, if the penalty is such that it's, you know, a $50 fine or whatever the case might be, and I'm not saying that's what the court's doing, but the court could. If that's the fine, that's not much of a deterrent. Maybe, and sometimes it's not worth the neighbor's time to go in, create a fight, testify, take their morning, and so it ends up, you know, being one of those things that gets resolved otherwise. So, but yes, they will be prosecuted if they're brought to us.
Go back to Ms. Bryan.
I just got a comment that most of the time, I'm guessing, tell them, correct me if I'm wrong, but if somebody's name is brought to court, that's consequence enough. If the possibility is you got to show up in court, I'll pay the fine. No consequences has gotten us to where we're at, you know. And that's not working. So we have to do something. Doing nothing is not an option. So
that'll be a conversation with the sheriff, which you already had. And
yeah,
as long as they sign them, they'll go through court. So that's what I can say. I mean, if I don't know about it, I don't do anything about it.
Gotcha.
And so as long as they know about it and the citation is being written, then it will go. I've had conversations with the sheriff about that. They're willing to do that, so it should not be an issue for them.
I just think it's gotten to be too much of this. Well, my neighbor, I don't want to this, or so don't want to tell on so and so. That's gotten out of hand. So,
well, I expect it's all over. I would suspect that she's not the only one with dog problems.
No, I think she highlights an issue. You know, law enforcement will show up and oftentimes the dog is inside by then or whatever the case might be. And then the neighbor says, well, geez, I don't want to be the person that, you know, is creating the problem. And I get that. I get to live in a neighborhood. And so, you know, that there are some limitations on what we can do with that stuff. Obviously, any citation, any criminal action, we have a high burden of proof, and we have to prove our case. And so, you know, that's the issue. I think you're right. Oftentimes, if people are cited, like, well, geez, I'll just pay a fine. I don't want to fight it. But you'd be surprised the people that have barking dogs and know it and are a little bit belligerent about it, they're going to show up in court. And they're going to, you know, say prove it.
Well, so, I just want the opportunity to sign the citation and say, you know, I'm not just hollering here. I'm following through, you know, doing my part to to follow through with the problem.
I have conversations with the sheriff about it. And if you're willing to sign on and come to court, then you and I will get to know each other real well.
Yes, unfortunately. So,
but yeah, I mean, those are the limitations.
Thanks for your time.
Mr. Krieger, and then we'll go back to public comment.
Sure. So I said I was working for the county attorney's office when we did this. Actually, when it was signed, I was not.
Okay.
I know I put this together, though, because I gathered up. Back then, I gathered up. Oh, I mean, that is sort of a combination of a bunch of different counties' animal control regulations. And so that was right around election time back in 2010. And so it didn't get signed until later in 2011. But anyways, just wanted to make that clear because that was not actually, when that was signed, I was not working in the county attorney's office.
Any additional public comment? All right, hearing none, I will close public comment. Commissioners, we've paid the vouchers. We will adjourn and then begin budget hearing starting at 10:30 with Mr. Ruby. You've got the clerk of district court at 11. Again, yes, prevention grant.
We didn't recognize him as Dr. Bill.
Thank you, Jody. We haven't met, but thanks for the additional degree.
Yes.
May I approach?
We've chatted about this, and I'm just going to keep on rolling.
It's all good. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for just a couple moments of your time this morning. It's that time for the Community Prevention Grant. It's a two-year grant. The award is the same as it's been since 2018, $221,000 for the biennium, roughly $110,000 per year. You're aware that the clerk's office is our fiscal agent, so to speak. And it's been wonderful working with Vicki over these last 4 years. We kind of have each other's backs usually, right, Vicki?
Right.
So thank you, Madam Clerk. Just a couple highlights. I've provided the work plan summary for you in an email. I'm not going to go over the entire thing, Commissioner Greenow, but I do would like a couple minutes just to highlight a couple things that I'm excited about and would hope that you would be excited about as well. County Attorney Ruby has mentioned the mentoring program a couple of times. Prevention over the 15 years that I've been working in it changes very frequently. What I'm excited is now we're able to use prevention funding for existing programs that are, A, evidence-based, and in other words, they show that they're effective, and we're able to share those funds with other existing programs. One, as an example, is the Johnson County Mentoring Program that Mark Wilson runs through the County Attorney's Office and the, what's the official title, the Juvenile Justice League? Am I getting that right?
Well, it's actually the Community Resources Board, but
right.
We were kicking around the Juvenile Justice League for a while, but
right.
That's when you're having to try to find alternative funding.
Mm-hmm. And so our Johnson County Prevention Council has been working on this work plan for just a little bit over 6 months, but we're happy to be able to braid some funding and work with the Juvenile Justice Services Board to be able to fund the mentoring program for $5,000. Which may not seem like a whole heck of a lot, but I think Mark and what I've seen makes those dollars go a very long way. One of the other things in braiding funding is working with Compass Center for Families. Again, upstream prevention. They have a program called Strengthening Families that Kim Kosicek Pope is running and teaching, and we're able to help them with some funding as well. The third, and probably at least initially in implementation stages, that I believe I've spoken with you about previously is Sources of Strength with the Johnson County School District.
We are collaborating and braiding funding on a 50-50 split to bring sources of strength, which is strength-based, thus sources of strength, to Cloud Peak Elementary School, Master of the Obvious. To Cloud Peak Elementary School with Heather Hobbs, grades 3 through 5, which is more of a curriculum. And then at the middle school, grades 6 through 8 with Jen Skaggs, we're actually hosting a train-the-trainer here in Buffalo next week, the 14th through 17th. And that's going to take about $12,000 of implementation funds. So those are some new things that I'm pretty excited about. I would be remiss if I didn't brag for just one second. And I've shared with you that one of my joys these last 2 years being a tobacco cessation specialist at Public Health is working with our vets up at the Veterans Home. There's a tall, well-bearded gentleman there who is on day 46 of his quit journey after 60 years of smoking. And his belly laugh is contagious. And I'd love to bring him here one day so that you could hear that belly laugh. That is my brief overview. I would seek Commission Chair Novotny's signature on the signature page. I guess that's the best word that there is for that. And I'm hopeful that that's all the paperwork that we'll see from Department of Health. But as we know, I could be wrong about that. I'm happy to answer any questions. Also part of the Justice League.
Yes, there you go.
Second. I've got a motion and a second to approve the 2022 through 2024 Community Prevention Grant. Is there any discussion or questions for the prevention specialists about the prevention program or the grant? Questions or discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the prevention grant, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you kindly.
All right. The last announcement before we adjourn and get ready to move into budget hearings is that this afternoon before the United States Senate's Energy Committee, the Subcommittee on Public Lands, Forests, and Mining will be hearing the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative bill. This is the culmination of 2 years of work by your Johnson County Commissioners to move Fortification Creek, North Fork, and Gardner Mountain out of the wilderness study designation back into full multiple use. If you're familiar with the collaboratives that we worked on, they culminated in what is the bill. We worked very, very hard to secure that hearing. Mr. Jeremiah Riemann will be testifying before the committee this afternoon on behalf of all of the counties that completed their collaborative. So we're very, very hopeful that we get through our hearing and that we have a markup and hopefully are included in a public lands package bill so that those issues can finally be addressed and put to bed. So if you want to watch that, that hearing will be streamed through the Senate Energy's webpage that you can access. And Senator Barrasso is the lead sponsor of the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative. He is co-sponsored by Senator Lummis, who actually helped us start the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative when she was in the United States House of Representatives. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the Johnson County Board of Commissioners.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.